T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
My never-ending quest to get the paper. What up, everybody? 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Brian Mitchell, NFL legend, future Hall of Famer someday, is in transit today. We don't know where he is. Texas landfill? He may be in Texas. B should call in a little later. But you're stuck with me today. Apparently, we're giving away Bryan Adams tickets. That's kind of cool. I like Bryan Adams. What was that banger he had when I was in like 6th, 7th grade from the Robin Hood soundtrack? Somebody's got to know what I'm talking about. We've got a really fun show coming your way today. Ben Standing's going to join us at noon. Rick Snyder's going to join us at 1 o'clock. I've been wanting to talk to Snyder about this. He wrote a story last week for the Fan website about... Now, I'm going to say Rick and Dan here because they're both last name Snyder, even though they're spelled differently. It's hard to convey spelling via an audio medium like the radio. So Rick Snyder wrote a story about Bobby Bethard after his passing last week, and included in there was a story that Dan Snyder tried to bring Bethard back when he bought the team and was incredibly impatient with a Hall of Fame 4-time Super Bowl winning general manager, and that Bethard was like, to hell with this dude. And if anybody was proven correct over the course of time, goodness gracious, was that ever Bobby Bethard. Ambassador Howard Gutman sent me a cool story about Bethard during a Mark Mosley lawsuit that I found pretty interesting and entertaining, and maybe we'll tell that a little later. I don't know if anybody followed this crazy Chinese quote-unquote weather balloon story over the last week, 4 or 5 days, but I found it really fascinating. And my cousins live in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and they watched the balloon go over their like house and then the fighter jets come and shoot it down. And the story's pretty wild. So I'm actually going to have my cousin call in about a half hour. So if you're into that, you're going to enjoy it. We always talk to John Leahy. John Leahy is our real estate agent of choice here on the B. Mitchell Finley program. Apparently, Dan Snyder's selling his house for $49 million. Now, this is the house in Maryland, in Potomac, that has kind of been on and off the market multiple times because he bought the house in Alexandria that's out of this world. And according to the Post, he's declaring his residency now in England. Not really sure how that goes. Like, I know my cousins moving from Scotland to the U.S., they didn't really get to declare anything. They had to, like, wait and go through a million governmental procedural hoops. I'm guessing when you're a billionaire, there's fewer hoops. We're going to talk about Dan, ownership update. But we got to start over the weekend with the Pro Bowl. There was a lot of confusion about the Pro Bowl because they had a bunch of the games. Was that Thursday night, Landini? They did a bunch of Pro Bowl stuff Thursday night. And then the actual Pro Bowl was yesterday. I had a pretty active weekend. I was trying to hang with my kids a bunch before I go to Arizona for the week tonight. I've learned one thing, Landfill. When you are the dad and you roll into... Shout out to the National Portrait Gallery over by Capital One Arena. They have this like really cool little kids activity area that's open on the weekends, and they do arts and crafts in there. And a young woman, Svalana, hopefully I'm saying that right, was super helpful with my daughters. Everyone assumes you're just a divorced dad and that that's the only time you get to spend with the kids is on the weekend. That, like, everybody gives you this look of like, oh, look at this divorced dad. And so I would make a point of like, you know, when a young woman first gets engaged and she just like goes out of her way to show off the engagement ring at all times, I would like make a point of showing my wedding ring to these young women as they just tried to circle me, landfill. They viewed me as their prey. And I said, hey, back off. All right? I would just be like, oh, my wife and I like to watch Netflix, whatever the hell. But I was pretty busy yesterday. And then I got home and I'm like, all right, the Pro Bowl's on. I'm going to watch this. Let's see what happens. And the first action I got to view was the wackiest catch contest. I don't know what they called it, but over and over, what I saw was like Steph Diggs parting a sea of cheerleaders, jumping on a trampoline, and not making the catches. I don't know if anybody, that's the portion of it I saw. I think we need this. Denton made this point earlier. I think the wackiest catch bit would be better with the linemen. Give me Trent Williams and Deron Payne jumping off trampolines trying to make catches. Because with the receivers, it had a very distinct NBA dunk contest feel to it when they're trying this stuff and they don't get to do it and they just let them keep trying. The NFL is a results business. It is a rough, ruthless business. And all of a sudden, everybody was just eating avocado toast and getting participation trophies. Like, it just wasn't that cool. So I would do away with the wacky catch contest, or I like put Brandon Scherff out there and let's see him jump off a trampoline with a mask on and make a catch. Like, that'd be entertaining. You might need a really big trampoline. Those are some big men. I don't know if they have like reinforced trampolines or what, but I think that would be better. But so the main event, though, is flag football. By and large, I kind of liked it. I thought it was kind of fun, honestly. It's so different from regular football, but I liked in the portion I watched. You had Peyton and Eli calling the plays. It was pretty much Kirk Cousins versus Derek Carr in the portion I watched, which was enjoyable and interesting. The receivers are really good. I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to pull up the stats because it did seem like my guy, Terry McLaurin, was not getting looks. I don't know if you guys saw that, but let's see if they have stats for this damn thing. I mean, God bless NFL.com, and I have been a person that has had to, like, when you're a straight content creator and it's just written content, like, you're literally just shoving coal into a furnace. Like, you have to come up with new stuff every day. The headline on NFL.com/Pro Bowl, landfill, you ready for this? 5 things we learned from Pro Bowl Sunday. Here's one thing we learned. That they did this because nobody wants to get hurt, and Myles Garrett got hurt. He hurt his toe. Okay, the first thing we learned, according to NFL.com, that Cousins and the NFC snapped a skid with a win in the first Pro Bowl games. Landfill, let's see what I got in my wallet. I got $5, Landini. If you could tell me how long of a win streak the AFC had running in the Pro Bowl.
The Pro Bowl, which doesn't exist anymore, so I don't really understand how they're claiming that the NFC snapped a skid when this is the first time it's ever happened. But I'm just going to say that the AFC won 6 straight Pro Bowls.
Sorry, keeping the $5. Oh. So in this article on NFL.com, there are 2 different claims for how long it had been. In the first sentence, it says, not since 2012 had the National Football Conference, won an all-star showdown with its American rivals. So that would be, what, 10, 11 years? But later in the article, it says the AFC had won 5 consecutive Pro Bowls.
Yeah, but didn't they start doing it where they mixed it up and it wasn't necessarily AFC versus NFC for a while there? Like, wasn't Deion Sanders, like, the captain of a team at some point? Am I completely making this up?
You could certainly be right. Yeah, I think you're right, because they, like, I don't know. What else did we learn according to this article? Derek Carr plays likely his final home game at Allegiant Stadium in Vegas? Sure. If you're going to call that his final home game when he's playing flag football, go for it. Buda Baker had a really impressive pick on the sideline. How about this one, Lamphill?
So just real quick, the 2012 season, the NFC won, and then they went for several years to unconferenced Pro Bowls. It was like Jerry Rice had a team and Deion Sanders had a team. Michael Irvin and Chris Carter had teams. It was that type of thing. Then they went back to the AFC-NFC, and then one of the Pro Bowls was canceled because of COVID. So it's only been 5 consecutive that the AFC had won.
Terrific. We're now dumber for knowing that.
Everyone.
Confident Geno Smith cooks in flag football opener. Apparently, Geno is very confident he's going to stay in Seattle. I did hear an interview, I guess, with the Ravens tight end Mark Andrews, who said that he thinks Lamar's sticking around in Baltimore. So that's good. I also, as we start talking about this and making fun of the show, making fun of the Pro Bowl, I got this text from somebody that was out there with some of the Commanders players, and he says, they say, watch all the events. The linemen did catch punts, and as a whole, the guys had way more fun this year. Dodgeball was great. I did get to see some dodgeball highlights. That was pretty fun. And Saquon Barkley was right. Like, you're not allowed to throw it at the head, and the dude that won got Saquon out by hitting him in the head. So I applaud the NFL for recognizing that the Pro Bowl was broken and that they needed to change it. But I'm not sure there's a fix there. Like, I just, football is not a sport meant to play patty cake. Like every other sport, you can get away with playing patty cake for a day and call it an exhibition and everybody's cool. Football, you got to go. Every day is kickoff, man, and you just got to go. The moment, though, that stood out most to me was the end of the game. And Kirk and Geno were pretty good. I think late in that game, Kirk engineers, I guess it was a comeback win, right? And after the game, you have RG3, Robert Griffin III, who was all over the broadcast, and it is clearly in the minds of ESPN and ABC, like a huge part of their NFL coverage going forward. I did enjoy the best and worst catch thing when you had Snoop and Pete Davidson, and I think LaDainian Tomlinson were like the judges, and they were kind of doing it like the dunk contest. And Snoop and LaDainian Tomlinson gave Steph Diggs a 70. And Pete Davidson gave him a 69, and the whole crowd just bust out laughing. And I want to say, who's the big fella, the former D lineman that is on like the Stephen A. circuit? I think he played for the Cowboys. Spears, maybe? Marcus Spears. He just kept screaming. I thought this was funny. I think it was him. If I'm attributing to the wrong person, forgive me. But he just kept screaming, this is a family network, man. This is a family show. You can't be doing that, Pete Davidson. I thought that was funny. But by far, the wildest part to me was the end of the program, and it's RG3 not playing, interviewing Kirk, who just got done winning the Pro Bowl. And I think this is at least Kirk's second Pro Bowl appearance, because I remember there was a Pro Bowl when he was here and he threw a pick late in the game and then he chased the dude all the way down. You remember that one? That was back when it was still like a real game, or at least a quasi-real game. I got a picture of it, and I got some really funny answers. I just on my Twitter and my Instagram, I posted a picture of Robert interviewing Kirk, and I said, caption this, Anthony Armstrong, that used to play for the Skins, replied, that's Kirk explaining his NFL script. If anybody paid attention to all the dumb stuff last week, that the claim that the stuff was scripted. My boy Joe Preston, I thought this was pretty funny, said, which of us was the most selfish, attention-craving Redskins quarterback? How would you answer that one? I don't know. Jeff, if you have an answer, feel free. I wanted to read this because I thought this was nice and fair. This is from Ozone. OJ said, they both seem like they're in the perfect environment. Kirk is definitely a top 10 quarterback in the league, and RG3 is one of the best commenters in the NFL, and they both seem happy. I'm happy for them. I'm not sure I agree with the assessment of top 10 and one of the best, but they both seem happy, and they're both in a good spot, and I am happy for them. One comment I got a number of times was, do you think we could go in and buy the Commanders together? Which they don't have the money, but. And then on Twitter, I got one comment that I thought was really, really funny, even if it was perhaps a jab at me, which if you're funny and you throw a jab, I'll laugh. I'm good with it. Let me try to find it. So this is from Wang the Conqueror, J. Everton 34 via Twitter. He said, and this is in quotes, like you're captioning the photo. It said, the only ones who haven't moved on from us is the DC media. You think Kirk and or Robert give a rip that we still look at that and we're like, oh, man, what a weird world. Here's the worst part about it is, who knows what Robert might have been, right? Like the injuries messed him up and then egos, which I'll include everybody, Snyder, the Shanahans, and certainly Robert, got in the way. I don't know that the way Robert ran, and this is not about running quarterbacks, but it's specifically about the way Robert ran, where he couldn't slide. He often didn't like going out of bounds. Maybe he would have learned that over time. But every time he was hit, it was like a car accident. Like there were just body parts flailing about. I don't know that he would have been able to maintain that even without the Seahawks game and trying to play through a torn ACL and just the collapse of everything. I think he would have had to evolve. Certainly Kirk has proven, and I think he proved it here, he may lack, you know, whatever it is required to win in clutch situations, but this football team, just this past year's team that went 8-8-1, if they had Kirk, would have been much better. If they had Kirk this year, we got him at 10-6-1, boys. Does that seem fair? I think so. If they had Kirk this year, they're a wild card team. Well, they don't. They ran him out of town. Got Alex, broke his leg. I think if you had pre-broken leg Alex this year, you're 10-6-1. Ifs and buts, right? It doesn't really matter. It's just crazy to think it's only 10 years ago. I guess it's now 11. That was the quarterback situation here. And now one dude is interviewing the other dude at the Pro Bowl. It's just, the world is a crazy place. Speaking of how crazy the world is, the Chinese sent an apparent quote-unquote weather balloon across the entire continental United States, and then it got shot down in South Carolina, over on the beach in South Carolina, and my cousin watched it all happen. He's going to join us next. Joel, he has pictures of it on his Instagram. Before we go, apparently Dan Snyder is selling his home in Potomac for $49 million. If you need a realtor to help you put an offer in on Dan Snyder's house, or perhaps you're looking at something more modest, John Leahy is the only person to call. Trust me, you got to go with John Leahy. You want a reason why? Here's an example. Mo is now a three-time client of John's, and he needed to sell his Clarksburg Square condo. He was purchasing a new home and needed to sell the condo in a timely manner in order to close on his new home. With John's VIP seller system, they were able to get multiple offers the very first weekend, including a cash offer. As sometimes happens, the first buyer backed out, but there were no concerns because John had already secured backup offers. With no momentum lost, Mo closed on his condo over asking price and was able to make a significant down payment on the new home, setting himself and his family up for long-term financial success. That's what John can do for you. Long-term financial success. And if your house needs a little bit of help before you sell it and you don't have the cash, don't give up, because John can make you, can front you up to $50,000 for repairs and upgrades, making your home more irresistible to buyers, getting you more money, and then you settle up on the back end with John at closing. Those are just a few of the reasons I would call John, plus flexible fees customized to your needs. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.